Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and on this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Today's guest is Michael Herron. Thanks for being here.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. I'm a fan, so I'm super excited.
I know. You actually reached out to me about being on the show, which I absolutely love when that happens.
Oh, yay.
I feel much better when that happens than me going after someone else. So,
yeah, I have that feeling too sometimes that it's hard not to approach people like I'm asking them to do me a favor.
Yes.
Actually, like, it's sort of a mutual exchange.
Yes, I definitely feel that way. But you know, whenever other people aren't as in tune to podcasting, then they don't exactly see it that way. And you kind of have to give them that, kind of let them know that.
Yeah, for sure.
So you've been podcasting for a very long time, and we'll talk about that later on. And at the end of the show, we also have a PowerPress tip segment. So stick around for that. But we have some news, and let's just dive into that.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. The first article that I found recently is called Podcasts Join the Netflix Style World of Binging with new one from creator of Serial. So obviously, the recent weeks, a new podcast from NPR and the creators of Serial came out called S-Town, and it went crazy. People went crazy for this show, and I have not listened to it yet. However, I did download everything the second I found it.
I haven't listened to it either. I haven't even listened to Serial. Is that, like, terrible? Is that bad?
No, it's not terrible. I very much enjoy it because I like murder mystery type things. I mean, that was right up my alley, and I'm sure this will be too. But there's nothing saying that you had to have listened to Serial, or even this one.
Yeah, I feel like I should, though. Like, I'm having a whole feeling about this whole thing.
It's finally getting to you a couple years after it's been released.
Yeah, you know, like, people started talking about Serial, and then, but I already felt like I missed out on everyone talking about it.
Uh-huh. So it's like, so why did I do it? Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just do S-Town, and then that'll trigger me.
Yeah, that works. When they released Serial, they put new episodes out, I think it was weekly, or kind of whenever they were ready, because they were doing the show. They were coming up with the new episodes as it was going on. And this time, they just released everything all at once. And so it was 7 episodes, including a 3-minute preview. So total of 8. And they just released them all at once. And within 4 days of this, they got over 10 million downloads.
Oh, my God.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
So did it help them? Like, is that what, like, caused more people to download? Because they could do it all at once and they were excited?
They aren't really saying that necessarily that is part of the reason why it happened. But they said that most of the time with a podcast as a content creator, you're going off of gut instinct because there's not a lot of analytical data that you can look at. And as someone that works with a company that does that analytical data, I have a different viewpoint about that. But as a podcaster, I understand where she is coming from, because you can only analyze so much. You just have to go with what you think is right. And I think they learned from Serial that they should just release all of this at once, especially because this is what we do. You binge watch things on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and whatever service it is that you're watching.
That, like, now that I think about it, the TV shows that I like, mm-hmm. and that I started Breaking Bad into, like, several seasons into mm-hmm. it, so I could binge watch.
Yep.
And then when I was watching it live, when the season ended and there were months in between, mm-hmm. I would lose interest.
Yes.
I wonder if that's what they're trying to avoid by doing it all at once. Like, if they get someone hooked, like, they can listen to it all right now.
Mm-hmm. There are some studies out there that say you are more likely to watch all of the episodes if you have all of them at your disposal. They have realized that. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, that's for TV, but it's kind of the same concept for a podcast. Like, I haven't listened to any of these yet because I want to binge listen to them. I want to listen to all of them within, like, a couple days.
And you downloaded them all already, yeah?
I downloaded it the second I saw it.
Oh, my God. I feel like I should be doing that right now.
And then I was talking to 2 friends last weekend, and they asked me about it. And they had listened to all of them already within, you know, 4 days of it being out. And so they are definitely doing that. And they said Julie Snyder was quoted in this article. She's one of the creators of S-Town and worked on Serial, that you can't leave someone hanging when you're accusing them of murder. And that's, you know, part of this new show. And that was part of the Serial show as well. And I think they realized that from last time is that when they released episodes periodically, is that people were raising so many questions that they then had to address, or that they just didn't have time to address, or they didn't know how, that people would ponder and they didn't know what to do with it. So they just decided to put it all in their hands and release it together.
I think it's pretty smart. I mean, obviously, they got a good response.
Mm-hmm. That they did. 10 million downloads within 4 days. That's a lot.
That's a lot. A lot of downloads.
I can't imagine that.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen. I'm ready to binge listen.
You've accepted this now?
Yeah.
That you're going to do it?
Board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want, like, I think part of me has a little like, oh, well, now everyone's talking about podcasting kind of thing, you know, like mm-hmm. this weird like resentment.
Yeah.
We're like, what about me? You know what I mean?
Because you've been doing it. Yeah. Like you've been doing this and it only was brought up recently.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's great for everyone, right? Everyone involved in podcasting, because I see people on Facebook all the time now, like probably one or two people a week. And granted, I have a ton of Facebook friends.
Uh-huh.
But someone will say, oh, I'm listening to a podcast. Any suggestions what I should listen to? Like, I don't remember seeing that before the last maybe year or so.
Even people in...
turned on.
You're right. Because even in the... I've only worked for Blueberry for 2 years. And in the past year, whenever people ask me what I do, typically my first question is, do you know what a podcast is?
Right.
Like, I don't tell them what I do. I ask them a question back. And it has become much easier to explain what I do in the past year without me having to explain to them what a podcast is first.
Right. Because that's where you lose people sometimes. And they're like, oh, God, that mm-hmm. sounds hard.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to explain to people a entire medium to say, hey, I work with this.
So. Yeah.
Very nice to have that slowly changing.
Yeah, because it's definitely, and it was Serial that was the big changer, big
influencer, I guess.
Yeah, there's the word.
Yeah. It did bring out a lot of new listeners, and it didn't necessarily keep all of those listeners, but it brought awareness to what podcasting is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be upset about that. Absolutely.
Yeah, not at all.
So NPR knows what they are doing.
Yeah.
At least with the murder mystery show.
I love it. In conclusion, NPR knows what they're doing.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, I was wondering. I assumed this must be at NPR. Oh yeah, because This American Life.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked I binge listened to what was the first Gimlet Media podcast about? Oh, Startup.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed listening to that.
Because Startup was basically about them starting Gimlet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting to listen to.
That one I haven't listened to in a long time. There's so many to choose from.
Yeah. There's so many podcasts. It's great.
All right. So moving into our next topic of discussion, let's start talking about your show. Because you are a composer and a performer, but you've also been podcasting for... what is it now? It's almost 10 years?
It's almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years in July.
Wow, good for you.
It's kind of weird that I've been doing something for that long. Definitely have been times in that period when it has been very sporadic. But over the past maybe year or so, I've been getting back in the routine of... I always say I do the podcast roughly every week.
Okay. That's good.
With a goal toward like being really consistent.
Mm-hmm. So I see that you're on episode 230. That is a whole lot of episodes.
Yeah. And I've been doing this thing lately where I'm archiving everything. I'm uploading all my podcasts to archive.org. I got in this weird thing recently where I was like, what happens if I die? Oh, this podcast will be gone because no one will pay my internet.
Your hosting fees. Yeah.
So it's been really interesting, like revisiting all those old podcasts. because I think it really motivated me, like having this podcast sort of motivated me to make sort of different decisions in my life. Like I started doing it in, I lived in Houston, Texas when I started doing it, and I moved to New York City like a year and a half. And I'm not going to say it's only because I was doing a podcast, but something about doing the podcast and really made me want to like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to podcast from this other place.
So your podcast is about, it's interviewing other musicians and creative people, right?
Yeah.
And has it always been about that, or have you had like more shows?
It's been a lot of different things. When I first started it, I just, I guess it was 2006. It seems so long ago. a friend of mine, do you know about Yeast Radio with Madge Weinstein?
I do not.
It was like one of the first podcasts. It was on, Adam Curry had Pod Show. And so Madge Weinstein was really played by this guy named Richard Bluestein. And he took on this character and did this podcast. But he was a friend of mine from LiveJournal, which is like way back in the social media days. And he kept encouraging me to start a podcast because there weren't a lot of gay podcasters. And so I really just started it because I was like, that seems interesting.
It's a good enough reason.
And I started listening to other podcasts, and there was a guy that was sorting his laundry and like recording, talking about how he sorted his laundry. And I was like, do something at least this interesting.
Yes. Yes.
So I just started podcasting. And at the time, like it started out being, I just wanted to interview like creative people in Houston. And I wound up sort of following this death penalty case. This woman named Frances Newton was on, she was on death row. And I wound up, I can't even remember how I wound up getting connected with it, but I interviewed her mom and there was this whole case going on. And so I podcasted about going to these different meetings and I interviewed her mom and she wound up still getting executed.
Wow.
Yeah. And something about that sort of like made me more aware like of social justice type issues.
That'll do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I started podcasting about that stuff and my sort of trying to learn all this stuff because I've never been someone that really is good at like keeping up with current events. And then I wound up leaving Houston and I went to live on a commune in Georgia called Koinonia. And these are the things that I've like that I was like, oh, this will be a cool thing to podcast about. And I had a friend that was the director of the place. And it's where Habitat for Humanity started.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know that started on a commune.
Yeah. And I interviewed, I got to interview the guy that founded Habitat for Humanity, Millard Fuller, because he came to lunch like once a month or so when I was there. And I asked him if I could interview him. So I have on my podcast the whole history of how Habitat for Humanity started from the guy that started it. Interesting stuff like that happened. And then I moved to New York City and... And when I was here in New York, I started focusing more on being creative and writing my own music and performance work and that type of thing. So the podcast sort of, some ways at that time, I felt like the podcast was sort of being a like a pseudo creative thing for me. And I was focusing more on doing my own writing instead of talking to other creative people. But then over the last couple of years, once I started getting that going and I was performing my own work, it seemed to make sense to start talking to other creative people about sort of what their process has been like of embracing their themselves as an artist and a working artist. So in a lot of ways, it's sort of this, I don't want to say it's a selfish thing, but it's a really cool way to like invite someone on the podcast whose work I like and talk to them about how they started doing it and what their challenges are, how they get it going. And also a great way to, because I talk to a lot of artists who do similar work to me. So it's a kind of cool way to try to sort of cross-pollinate.
That makes sense. So it's, it kind of seems like this is very much a passion project because this has evolved over time, which is obviously going to happen over a decade. But it seems like you've also kind of discovered a little bit of what your passions are by stumbling across them and podcasting about them and then evolving into the next thing a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like there's a guy that this composer named Christopher Willits, and he was just on my show a few episodes ago. he really, like, I wound up talking to him sort of by accident. He did an album with this Japanese composer I really like. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to, the composer's name is Ryuichi Sakamoto. He's done a lot of, like, film scores and stuff. And I was trying to get an interview with him. And they were like, no, I don't think you can talk to him. But what about this guy? And I was like, all right, I'll talk to that guy.
Okay,
and
that's good.
He turned out to be, like, this guy that, like, totally inspired and shifted everything about my work. And now we're friends. Like, it's really, that's what I mean about, and like what you were saying too about the, like, sort of just following opportunities to interview and podcast about people. It sort of redirected my path as a artist and as just a person.
That's pretty amazing. And yeah, to see really it kind of happen, right? Like in the show.
Yeah, when I was still in Houston, I'm super animal rights activist now, and a lot of the stuff I do has to do with that, and some of my upcoming projects are about that too. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation on my podcast where I went to interview some people who were protesting the Chinese consulate in Houston. Mm-hmm. They were protesting about the fact that a lot of dog and cat fur was being imported from China and sold as fake fur. And, you know, like, so it was, they were sort of being snuck in and sold to people. This is what, I didn't investigate too deeply in this, so I could be saying things that are not completely true, but that's what they were protesting about.
Okay.
So I had this conversation with these three or four women who were protesters, and I was recording it. I had my little handheld recorder and I was talking to them. And I had this moment with them where I wasn't vegetarian or vegan at the time, but I had been before. And I said, oh, yeah, I used to be an animal rights activist. And they were all like, what? Used to be?
That's,
why did you stop?
That's and true.
All of this is recorded. And I was like, I don't know.
You kind of backed yourself into a corner there.
Yeah, but they were right. And that, like, that's another moment in my podcasting history that I was like, oh, I need to look at this. Like, and like having it, it's interesting to listen to it now because I'm 100% vegan now.
Uh-huh.
But to hear that and be like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, because I was trying to like be all like cool with them. And they were like horrified that I would like turn back to the dark side.
Right. You were like trying to relate to them and say that, you know, you've been involved in this. And they were just like, well, they turn it around on you for sure.
Yeah, which I appreciate. And I'm actually doing, I made a show here in New York that was after a residency at an animal sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually taking it to Houston in July. I want to track those people down and say, hey, come see my show. you inspired this thing in me like years ago.
I think actually they would probably love to hear that.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, okay, so you've obviously taken your show on the road, but how have you done that? How have you planned around that? You just said that you had a portable recorder. Like, how have you just dealt with the craziness that is getting interviews?
For the most part, right, lately I've just been recording people over Skype, although I have a really nice Tascam, like handheld recorder that I've been using a little bit. But back in those days, I had borrowed a little handheld recorder. I have a friend who's a dialect coach at the University of Houston, and he had a bunch of these recordings. He's like, sure, you can borrow this. And that's how I started recording my podcast. And then I would just carry it around with me and interview people. But at the different location stuff, I've recorded just on my phone before, which sort of sounds okay. I'd love to. This summer, I'm doing this little tour with my show, and I'm also going to do little mini week-long residencies at different animal sanctuaries along, like in Texas, and then I'm going to head up the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grab a couple of microphones and like be able to record nicer interviews, because part of what I want to do is document these sanctuaries and their history on my podcast by interviewing the people that work there and the people that founded it and that sort of thing. So I have I love that this is a podcasting show, so I don't have to worry about being too geeky.
Exactly. Exactly. You can tell your plans and people will be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I have an audio interface I use because I do a lot of electronic music. So I have this audio interface that I run synthesizers through and microphones that's also portable.
Mm-hmm.
I can just run that with my laptop and plug some mics into it. I just need a few more mics and I'll be able to set up a little studio wherever I go and have like nice sit down.
But that's really cool. People.
Yeah, it's great. It doesn't work so great with Skype, which is why. So sometimes when I'm interviewing people, they have to hear me through my laptop microphone, even though I'm recording like a separate recording of my voice to mix together to make the podcast sound nice.
That makes sense. It sounds very complicated for me as someone who does not deal with any of that, but it's very, very interesting that these things are possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff you could do. Like, really, I could, if I wanted to, I could play music while I podcast, like, because all this stuff goes into, I record everything in Ableton Live just because that's where I do my music stuff. I could do like some sort of live thing if I wanted to, but that sounds hard.
It does sound hard. I don't really know if I would want to do that.
I think I would love to be one of the people, the type of person that could just like, oh, now I'm going to play a song. And like, while I'm talking about something else, maybe I'll become that person sometime. That'd be it. I would like to listen to that podcast if someone's doing it.
I know. I would give them a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Because that is not easy. So since this is the PowerPress podcast, how long, because you've been a podcaster for over a decade, but how long have you been using PowerPress plugin on your website?
I have no idea. A very long time.
A very long time. So you've been through many of its iterations and features and, you know, things that have popped up. But have you actually, like, cared about any of them or used any of them throughout the years?
Yeah. And it's so interesting because a friend of mine just sent me a message saying his company wants to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. And he was asking how he should go, how they should do it. And I, of course, sent them to PowerPress. But I realized as I was talking to him, I was like, oh, yeah. And it does, like, because I love the way there's so much, oh, my God. There were so many things that I was doing on my own because I started before PowerPress existed. And then I slowly realized, like, oh, I don't have to be doing this. Like, I used to put individual subscribe links in every blog post.
Yes.
Like, subscribe on iTunes, blah, blah. And then one day I was like, oh, look at those cool buttons. I think it was your podcast. I was how do they get those cool buttons with the subscribe thing? I was like, oh, it's right here in this plugin I've been using all along.
Well, we're happy to help you out with that.
Yeah, and you guys did that. You know, that is one of the things that I think is really great. Anytime I've had a question, everyone has been on, like, hands-on helping people out. And I'm really sort of not, I don't have a huge audience. So it's sort of nice to be able to be like, oh, yeah, that's one of the things I tell people. If they'll help you set your podcast up and answer questions you need answered.
Yes, we are very focused on doing that. Like, the past year or so, that has been one of the things that we have definitely changed is we have upped our support like crazy because people are more likely to stick around and continue their podcast if they have the help.
And, you know, it's another thing that I've really loved, especially recently, as I'm going back and doing all the preparing for my death.
Right, uploading
podcasts. I've been like fixing titles of the blog posts and that sort of thing. And my feed used to only include like the 30 most recent podcasts. And,
yeah.
And I went and changed it so they could all be seen in a directory. And then I noticed like it didn't look consistent the way all my titles were.
Right.
So I went back. I was like, oh, I got to fix those before because it just looked terrible and yucky.
Yeah.
So I went back and changed it back to 30 and it was almost instantaneous how it changed in. So I changed it in PowerPress. And it almost instantaneously changed in iTunes because I kept obsessively checking, like, oh, gross. I hope nobody sees this. And then once I fixed all my titles, I feel like this is a really weird obsession I have.
You are not alone, though.
Yeah. But once I changed my titles, I changed it again on PowerPress and said, like, show, I guess, whatever the maximum is, I think it's like 300.
Yeah, I think it's 300.
And then I looked and I was like, oh, look at that. Everything looks nice and neat now. And it happened so quickly. Like making changes to my feed like that is so simple.
Good.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm happy it's working for you.
Love it.
So yeah. do you enjoy being, I mean, you reached out to me to be on this, so I assume that you enjoy being on other shows, but like, have you done that regularly at all?
You know, there's a podcast that I now work for called Our Hen House, which also uses PowerPress, PS.
Awesome.
It's a animal rights news and interview podcast. So I'm on that podcast sometimes. I actually really love it. I think podcasts are super cool, and especially like this type of podcast where it's less super produced than an NPR show. mm-hmm. And real feeling and conversational.
Yeah, that makes sense. You've been doing the archiving thing, but is there anything that you're kind of in the middle of or are thinking about for the future to change in your podcast?
You know, I feel like it's really, right now my podcast is almost finding a settling place. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this tour and I think that, and I'm still like planning this tour, but I think that I would love to, and partly looking back at the time I spent at that commune, Koinonia, it's mm-hmm. really called an intentional community. I don't think they would appreciate me calling them a commune. I really like enjoyed talking on the podcast about being in this weird place. You know, like I'm looking toward having a lot more traveling. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but mm-hmm. I want to travel with my show and go to these sanctuaries. And I'm trying to like build up support for that with my Patreon page.
Right. Very helpful.
So I would love for my podcast to stay how it is and talk about creative people, but also be more about my process of creating my work, mm-hmm. my music and theater work. And I think it's inspired a little bit by like what Startup did, where it's about, you know, like I had a conversation with a woman at this sanctuary that I want to visit, mm-hmm. and I got off the phone with her and I was like, I should have recorded that. That would have been great to have on the podcast, this yep. conversation I had with her of like, I don't know what I'm doing, but can I come and stay at your sanctuary for a week?
Yes.
And she was like, sure, we have horses. I was like, okay, I'll see you in August. It's
the selling point of any place.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I feel like the podcast itself, and maybe that's the answer to this question, is it's about I'm the character that's consistent in the podcast, even mm-hmm. though I bring people on with interviews. That's the thing I want to change. I want to have more of my personal sort of reflections and experiences woven into the body of what's happening in the podcast.
This is the conversation I'm having, and include that conversation and then include your reflections after it.
Yeah. And you know, those like, I'm envisioning like the traveling this summer, like there'll be specific podcast interviews with the people at the sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'll be in the middle of touring a show so I'm new at making this sort of solo performance art. And then I'm going to be touring with it. Mm-hmm. Like I've never done, like, I'm just like, okay, I figured out what I'm going to do in Houston. Now what do I do?
Right.
You know, like I think that, I get as I'm saying that, I'm like, oh, that would be a cool podcast to listen to. You know, I think I'd like to share more of that process of figuring out and like how I'm working this stuff out. And I think a lot of people, myself included, like it took me many years to decide, no, this is where I want to put my energy, even though like being an artist, there's no guarantee of being rich or necessarily even like middle class.
Yes. It is not easy.
Yeah, I think the whole process of deciding to do it anyway and like figuring out as I go should be a bigger part of what's happening on mm-hmm. my podcast. Mm-hmm.
Because it's very reflective of what is actually happening.
Yeah, and I guess like some of the work that I do in my theater stuff is about personal stories that I don't think I wouldn't share. Like, it's weird that I'd be like, oh, I'll tell people that in an audience, uh-huh. but I'm not going to talk about this like to a person.
Yes. I actually listened to a podcast episode yesterday that was very similar to that topic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I listened to Millennial, and she did an episode a while back. Like, I'm far behind. She did an episode saying, like, her show is talking about navigating her 20s and her job and starting her podcast. And she said, like, she'll tell everyone in her podcast these things, but she, like, doesn't want to tell her friends or, like, strangers this, but she'll put it out there on the internet for everyone to know.
Yeah, that's like, it's really strange. Yeah. And I wonder if she has this experience I have sometimes where someone who's seen a show, who's also a friend, mm-hmm. references something I never told them personally, but I talk about in my show.
Oh. So
I'm like, oh God, no, I don't want to talk about this.
Like it's coming up, but I don't want to be associated to this.
Yeah, because there's a safety in a way of like telling it to an audience instead of a person. Like uh-huh. the audience isn't necessarily going to respond to what you told them.
Right.
So it feels a little safer in this sort of twisted way.
Like you feel that urge and that need to get it out, whatever it is, but you don't actually want to tell someone that's personal to you.
Yeah.
Podcasting is very efficient for that.
Yeah, it really is. Because I rarely get, like, I used to get a lot more responses. I'm noticing this too as I look back. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about that. I think people are more likely to respond and comment on Facebook than they are on a blog now.
For sure. Yeah.
That's probably a big part of it.
Yeah. I think it is. I'm just now realizing that we have not mentioned the title of your show.
Oh my God. don't bother. Just kidding. It's called Mikey Pod. And it's at mikeypod.com. Okay. And of course, thanks to Blueberry, listed everywhere in all the directories. Nicely and neatly.
Yes. that is the thing, nicely and neatly. So you can find it on mikeypod.com and iTunes and, you know, all those other directories. And thanks for sharing everything about many years that you've been doing this and how it has changed.
Yeah, I'm really happy to talk about this stuff. Like as you mentioned before, still a lot of people don't know what podcasting is. So they kind of glaze over when you start talking about it.
Yes. Yeah, except, you know, the people that are listening to this podcast, because it's a podcast about podcasting. So, you know, they're like headstrong about this.
Yeah, for sure.
And I appreciate that, everyone.
Yeah, I do too. I like the headstrong podcasters.
Yeah. Moving on from your show, thank you, to we have one last news article to talk about. And it's called, it's talking about vanity casting, which isn't really a term. To be completely honest, it was just kind of coined by Mark Ramsey, but he was talking to Pod to Pod, a news outlet at this point, and they put out a newsletter every week about podcasting news, but they have a podcast as well. And he came up with this term, vanity casting, based on the people that want to do a podcast, that just want to do a podcast, but they don't necessarily have a topic that they want to focus on. And he was saying, if you are that person, you probably should not do a podcast.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
So as someone that goes to podcasting events, I see this happen a lot. I see that they're very interested in podcasting. And I ask them, do you have a show yet? And they say no. And then they tell me that they've been looking at podcasting stuff for 3-4 years now. And I just kind of ask them, well, what in the world is stopping you? And they say, you know, there are the people that haven't started yet because of they don't know how to do a website or record it or anything like that. And it's kind of the technological that is stopping them. And then there are the other people that can't decide what to do a show on. And those are the people that I sometimes worry about, because it does have some truth to it of, why do you want to do a podcast if you don't have something that you are passionate about? So as long as you have passion for something, I think you should do the podcast. But I feel like you should have that at least, and not just want to get your, you know, have a podcast for the sake of having a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Like there are podcasts out there that are just like personal journal kind of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to those so much.
Neither do I.
But I think it's kind of like, I think about taking opportunities and sometimes, and like I started my podcast just in this, like, I guess I'll just start doing this. Mm-hmm. And I did a SoundSing tour. Like, I don't know if people really still do those anymore or call them that, where they just take a recorder and like walk around a place and talk about what they're seeing.
I have no idea. I think that's called like Snapchat stories now.
Oh yeah. But, you know, like, I think just taking the plunge and just making this podcast actually helped me figure out what I was passionate about. Uh-huh. So those first episodes, and probably even some current episodes, are a little like, what is this about? But it sort of helped me, like, make, even if it doesn't relate to the podcast, it's creating things happening in my life that are going to fold themselves back into it. So I don't know. I guess I'm a little cautious about, because I think in this thing, he says you shouldn't start a podcast if you're
He says that you shouldn't start it.
I think someone should start a podcast. Start a podcast.
Because you are that person that didn't really have that clear objective, but did it. And I think there isn't anything wrong with that, but I think you had an advantage because you started so early. And there were less shows. And now he points out that there are many shows and many topics that are oversaturated, and that you're going to have a lot of competition in that way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There is that.
Yeah.
There is that.
And
factor.
When I look at my podcast in terms of like success, I don't think anyone would look at my download numbers and be like, oh, this podcast is doing great.
Yep. Yep.
But like, and in terms of like my whole, like, I hate saying my brand.
Mm-hmm. No, you're allowed to say that.
But it just gives me the creeps, personally.
It makes me feel a little icky.
Yeah. But like in terms of like looking at it, like as part of my brand and like all of this stuff I want to weave together, like the performance and the podcast, and I want to get back to vlogging and all that kind of stuff. It's a piece of like a bigger thing. So I don't know. I guess I always wonder about success and what that means. And
that's a good point, because I think Mark Ramsey is also most likely coming from a viewpoint of your podcast should be a success based on these standards, and, you know, this set of data that we want to hit. And your podcast is successful in whatever terms you want it to be. That's your personal terms.
So, yeah.
That makes a very big difference.
I would love it if someone would do a podcast just listing hats. Like, hats they have.
I would have a short list. It would be like 7 or 8 hats.
We should say at the bottom of this post about vanity casting, there's a Family Guy clip.
Oh, yes.
Peter is doing his podcast about hats. That reminds me of the laundry podcast I heard.
A laundry podcast?
Yeah, the podcast I heard when I was thinking about doing a podcast, and the guy was just talking about separating his laundry.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I would pass on that one. Thank you very much.
But it inspired me that I could be at least that.
Hey, it at least did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. I mean, I'm going to put all this information in the show notes. However, you should go and watch the Family Guy clip at the end of this article. If anything, it'll make you feel a little bit better.
Peter is so committed to his podcast. Like, as he's listing these hats, he's like really feeling passionate about the different kinds of hats he's thinking of.
You know, with over like 350,000 or whatever number it is podcasts out there, I'm sure someone does have a podcast about hats.
I bet they do.
I am not your target audience for it, but someone out there will listen to it.
Yeah, and they'll be able to find it. And that's probably an area that's not oversaturated.
I would assume not.
So it might be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. If that is your passion, then go for it. Okay, so that is all that we have for today. And thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me. I really am a fan of the show. It's like when I see that there's an episode to listen to, it like always takes priority.
Okay, so good.
It's fun to talk to you.
Awesome. And everyone, this is the first episode that is being released on a Monday. We are switching from Friday to Monday. So if you have not subscribed yet, go ahead and do that on iTunes or Android or whatever your favorite app is. We appreciate that. And we'll see you next time. Coming up next, we have our PowerPress tip segment. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great week.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. Don't fear advanced mode. PowerPress defaults to simple mode, which promises to let you start your podcast in 3 easy steps, which is true. And in many cases, this really is all you need to get your podcast up and running and submitted to directories like iTunes. But there's much more going on inside the PowerPress settings. You can take a look at these options by clicking the Switch to Advanced Mode button on the main PowerPress settings page. Once you're in advanced mode, you'll see a series of tabs that allow you to access different PowerPress settings. We'll discuss many of these settings more in depth in future PowerPress tips segments, but here's a basic overview of these tabs. The first tab is the Welcome tab, and it shows a basic Hello page from PowerPress that sometimes displays recent news items from Blueberry. Next up is the Episodes tab, and that is where you can go to customize the options available to you when you're creating a new podcast episode on your website. And then we have the Services and Stats tab, which allows you to easily connect your WordPress site to your Blueberry account so you can add Blueberry services like stats or media hosting right to your WordPress site. The Website tab is where you can determine how the PowerPress media player works within your WordPress site, you can change things like where the media player appears in your posts, which links appear underneath the player, and more. The next tab is called the Feeds tab, and it provides options for how PowerPress feeds are handled within your WordPress site. This tab also gives you access to some basic settings for your podcast feed, including feed title, feed description, and more. The iTunes and Google Play tabs are where you go to provide specific information about your podcast for both of those directories. That's followed by the Artwork tab that provides a single location for adding the artwork that shows up in your podcast feed, including the art that's displayed in your iTunes and Google Play Music listings. And finally, we have the Destinations tab. You'll want to copy the URLs from your podcast listings in iTunes, Google Play Music, the Blueberry Directory, Stitcher, and TuneIn into the fields within this tab so PowerPress can use those links with either the PowerPress player, the PowerPress widget, or the PowerPress subscribe page. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. Hope you learned something new about our favorite podcasting plugin. I'll be back in future episodes with more tips. For now, this is Sean Thorpe signing off.